The Word of God this morning. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the benefits that you daily load us with. We thank you for your Word that you provided for us and the faith that comes through believing that and receiving that and hearing that. Lord, we pray that this morning you would speak to us by your Spirit, that we would know your direction in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking this morning at the Word of God in our mouth and in our heart, part two. And we saw that there was a progression of belief. We looked in Romans 10. We saw there was a progression whereby the preaching of the Word had to be heard, had to be sent, had to be heard by the people, had to be believed, and had to be acted upon. And we understand that the Word of God is a different word than from the word of man. The Word of God is not a book of fairy tales, but the Bible is full of nourishment for the people of God, full of nourishment. And in fact, if it's believed on by the world, they can be saved and come in to a relationship. So it is a powerful word, and it does something in our heart. Jesus talked about the Word of God being food. And man shall not live by the word, bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the inner man feeds on this spiritual food. Let's have a look at John 14, 22 to 24, first of all. John 14, 22 to 24. Now Jesus makes a very clear statement here in John 14 about his word, and it's something we should take to heart, because God wants the word of God in our mouth and in our heart. Obviously, it's got to be in our heart first before it comes out of the mouth. So John 14, starting from verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my word, my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now remember, we read in Romans 10 last time that how can they preach except they be sent? So obviously the Father sent Jesus, and he was a mighty preacher on the earth. Okay, he preached the word of God, and that was heard by people, and there were people that believed on him. We saw that in John 8 as well, that there were people that believed on him, and Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed. So there is a continuation that's necessary once we've believed the gospel, once we've taken that truth into our heart that Jesus died, was buried and resurrected from the dead for us, that we might live in God and be a part of the kingdom of God. What we see here in verse 22 is a question that is on the hearts of people. How will God manifest himself to us but not to the world? How is it different for us who is in the kingdom of God than those who are in the world? Well, we know the world, there's no priority on the Bible or on the Word of God, is there? There's no priority on the sayings of Christ. The world can flow along as natural, unborn again people, as people who aren't saved, can flow along quite happily without the Word of God at all. But that's not the case for those who are born again. Because those who are born again, we have commandments, and one of the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might. And then the second commandment is, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. So the top priority in the Christian's life is the love of God. And so therefore, God is first in our lives. It's not so in the world. God is not first in the lives of people in the world. They don't have Jesus as their Saviour. they have not heard or they have not listened, they have not believed the word which has been spoken, if indeed it has been spoken to them. But we see that the question is, how will God manifest himself to us? And Jesus answered, and because we see in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him. Jesus is answering that question. If a man love me, and remember that top commandment, the highest priority commandment, love the Lord thy God. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, there will be a connection between loving God and keeping the word of God. Now, you know, there's some people that say, well, it's so hard to keep the word of God. But God gives us the power. I'm going to be preaching on Tuesday night about the power that works within us. God, when we're born again, our spirits are changed. We are new creatures in Christ. God gives us the power to keep his word. Okay, all we need to do is trust him and rely on him in that power. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And so, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And this is the way God manifests himself to his people. Through faith coming through the word of God and people believing on that word, believing what God has said, keeping what God has said, and God can meet them and manifest himself to them in that way. Now, the opposite is in verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So, obviously, the Father sent Christ to preach the word. And we know, for example, in Luke 4, that it was a word of deliverance. It was a word of salvation. It was a word of prosperity. And we know that that word is a powerful word for those who believe on Christ. If people ignore the sayings of Christ, ignore the word of God, then God will not or cannot manifest himself to them. And so verse 22 is a very important question that people need to be asking. How is God going to manifest himself to us but not to the world? And it's the crucial difference between the world not loving God and keeping God's words and us who do love God and keep God's word. So there is a crucial difference, and this is the way we must explain it or answer it to people. If you look at Romans 10, verse 8, Romans 10, verse 8, you see that crucial difference explained in this scripture. Because this shows where the word of God is in the believer's life, but the word of God is not in the unbeliever's life like this. Okay? And so the clear difference is shown here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, clearly the gospel, the word, must be preached so that people can hear it, people can believe it, and people can get it into their heart and into their mouth at the same time. But it's got to come into the heart. People have to be changed in the heart, and then the heart becomes a receptacle for the word of God, and there'll be an increase, or as the Bible says, an enlarging of your heart. An enlarging of your heart is talking about growing in God and the capacity to believe. The capacity to do the things for God will increase as well. But the word is nigh thee. It's near to you. It's not far off. It's not locked away in some scholar's mind. It's not locked away in the past. It's right here. It's near you. It's being preached, the word of faith. And you can get it into your heart today. It just requires people to make the decision for that to come to pass. And so you get into your heart, and the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart, the mouth starts to speak. The Bible also says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So it's got to dwell in there richly. It requires us to make decisions. I will put it into my heart. I will allow it to be preached to me, for example. One of the reasons we come to church, to hear the word, to receive the word. Let's look at John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. This is Jesus speaking here. He shows how crucially important it is for believing the Word of God. And obviously, we believe the gospel, which is that Christ came to save us. And by doing that, he becomes our Saviour. Now, John 5, verse 24 says, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, the power of the word is illustrated here by the fact that if people hear and believe, then something happens in their life. Because it says, is passed, that's present tense, is passed from death unto life. Present tense there. And how did that arise? Well, it arose because they heard the word of God. They heard, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Okay, so they believe God the Father sent God the Son. God was manifest in the flesh. They believe this. And then it's present tense, hath everlasting life. You don't wait till you get to heaven. Well, you can't get to heaven unless you believe the gospel. But you believe, you hear the word, you believe, and you have everlasting life now. Now, everlasting life is living forever with God in his kingdom. And it starts now. It starts once a person has been born again, once they've believed the gospel and received Christ as Saviour. So that's the start of a whole believing life. A whole believing life. Jesus said, and we can just hop over to it, to John 8, we'll look at verse 31. So we saw the beginning of the believing life, hearing the word and believing. And is there a continuation? Yes, there is. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." That's the first step, isn't it? Believing on Christ. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So there has to be a continuation in the believing of the word of God, because by doing that, then the word of God in our heart and in our mouth brings forth the manifestation of God in the believer's life, which we read before, "How wilt thou manifest thyself to us but not to the world?" The manifestation comes through us continuing in the word of God, the word being placed in our hearts as a receptacle, because we're feeding on that spiritually, and we grow. Our heart is enlarged. We grow. We grow. Praise the Lord. If you look at John 5, let's go back to that again, verses 46 and 47. 46 and 47. Now Jesus illustrates here that there should have been with the Jews a continuation of believing the word of God that came to them through Moses and the prophets. There should have been a continuation, but there wasn't, because of unbelief. In other words, they allowed unbelief to come into their hearts, and stubbornness and rebellion. And Jesus makes it very clear here, verse 46 of John 5, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me." In other words, you would have continued in your belief and you would have believed me. "For he wrote of me." Verse 47, "But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" And so Jesus points to the scriptures and shows us that believing not is going to have an impact on your life. How can you believe the words of Jesus? How can you believe the word of God if you make a decision to believe not? So they didn't believe the words of Moses, and Moses was a man who received from God and received the word of God. They didn't believe that, and because of that, they could not go forward. They could not believe on the very one that had come and to save them, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Saviour. They couldn't believe on him. They could not believe his words. There could be no progression. There could be no going forward in God. There couldn't be what was explained in John 8, if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciples. They couldn't be disciples because they'd made a decision not to believe. There's many in the world that have done precisely that. They have a stumbling block and are not open to even hearing the word. And that's where prayer comes in. As believers, we pray, we seek the Lord, we seek opportunities from the Lord to speak the word. The righteous are as bold as a lion. We seek opportunities to be bold for God. Praise the Lord. If you look at John 4, verse 50, we're looking at a few verses in John. John is full of the word believe or believeth right through. But John 4, we want to look at verse 50. Now remember, this believing the word is relevant to all parts of our life, whether it be salvation, and salvation includes healing and prosperity and strength and the benefits of salvation that we read about before. We know that believing is very important in that. And you'll notice that it's not a believing on just anything. It's believing particularly on what Jesus says, what God says. Verse 50 said, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. So the noble man had come seeking healing for his son. And notice what the response of the man was. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now, what happened in response to the word of God? The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. If Jesus came to you today, sat down in your lounge room and sitting next to you, and you asked him a question, he would say, believe the word. He would point to the word of God, because that's how God manifests himself today to his people. He points to the word of God and he says, believe this, act on this, keep my sayings, continue in my word. Can you see how important it is in the believer's life that yes, they believe the gospel at the beginning, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved, but then they've got to continue in the word, they've got to grow. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So there must be a desire. There must be a continuation. There must be then, from that, a growth. Praise the Lord. A growth. You notice that it was on the basis of what Jesus said in verse 50, not on the basis of what the man saw. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're believing the word, even though we may see things that appear to be in opposition to the word of God or appear to be in opposition to what we're believing. But we believe the word. And notice, look at verses 51 onwards. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, this is talking about the nobleman, and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. So we see that the word, believing the word, is very important. You don't have to see it. In fact, it was a day later, when they said, Thy son liveth. Because in verse 52 it says, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. But clearly, there was a seeking out of Christ and his word by this nobleman, a seeking out, and when Jesus spoke the word, the man believed that word. It hasn't changed today. When God speaks the word, whether it be through preaching, whether it be through you reading it and taking it into your heart, or learning of the word, however it comes in, there's still that opportunity for us to believe it. And let me tell you that the opportunity for the Jews to believe the word of God with Moses, that opportunity was there, so that had they believed that, then when the Messiah came, they could have received him with open arms. But what happened? When they didn't believe, there's a barrier and it stopped them from great blessing. It's the same today. When there's a barrier, when people don't believe, there's stopping from a great blessing coming in. We don't want that for us. We live by the word of God. We are nourished by that. Let's look in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. We are nourished by the word of faith. We're nourished by that. Now, nourishment talks about good things coming in. If you are nourished physically, you're going to be healthy physically because you'll have good quality food. You'll be nourished by that. Lots of good vitamins in there. Food with strength. You know, you can partake of food which will actually sap your strength, full of sugar or full of fat, things like that. That'll sap your strength if you have too much of that. But if you have good nutritious food, then your body can grow and function and be healthy in the right way. But similarly, when we can feed ourselves on the wrong words, and that's going to be like sugar confectionery in our lives, and it's not going to do much good for us. Or we can feed ourselves on the words of faith, which will nourish us and will strengthen us spiritually and cause us to grow. And let me encourage you, that's the words that we need to be feeding upon. 1 Timothy 4 verse 6 says, If thou put the brethren in remembrance of those things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. He's not just talking about Timothy here being nourished up. He's talking about all the brethren being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Nourished. That's what we want spiritually. You know, there's some churches you can go to with very little preaching of the Word of God. You're not going to be nourished. But where the Word of God is preached, the words of faith and good doctrine is preached, and is preached around the world, then there can be a nourishment and a growth as people believe that and receive that. So the word of faith in our mouth and in our heart is so very important if we're to increase in God. Praise the Lord. If you look at Colossians 3:16, we mentioned that before, but it's good for us to look at this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now this requires a decision on our part. If we're to be nourished, then we have to have a decision on our part to not be feeding on the confectionery on the lollies and sweets all the time, but to be feeding on the nourishing words of God and to get that into our hearts. Because that's what it's talking about here. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We can't get enough of the words, the word of Christ. We can't get enough of that. You cannot grow too much in God. And that statement I want you to take to your heart. You cannot grow too much in God. But if you take the word of Christ into your heart and let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, then you can grow. You can be nourished. You can be strong in the Lord. And that's every single one of us. None of us is left out of that. But it requires us to have the decision every day, I'll put the word of God in my heart. I'll switch off the television for a while and I'll look at the Bible, or I'll listen to a sermon on CD, or I'll attend that meeting, or I'll go and hear what another believer might be saying. In other words, we put ourselves into an environment just like a plant that's nourished from good soil. We put ourselves in an environment where we can be nourished. The Bible says that if we're the righteous will flourish when they're planted in the house of the Lord. Flourish. The word flourish talks about nourishment, talks about strength, doesn't it? So the important thing here in verse 16 is let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You let the word of Christ. It's a decision on us, on our part, to do that. It's a decision on our part to say, well, I'm going to grow in the Lord. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 6, you know, we've been looking at the fact it's the words of faith, words of faith whereby we are nourished. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's look at that. Hebrews 11:6 shows us that what we have to have in our heart is the word of God dwelling in us richly, because then faith can arise. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now this should be a flag, a warning flag to Christians, this verse. Now why is it a warning flag? It's a warning flag because if you are a Christian, you want to please God. Not please yourself, not please someone else. You want to please God above all. And the warning flag is that you have to know about faith. You cannot neglect faith. You cannot say, well, faith, oh, well, I don't know what it is. It's something that's nebulous. No, you have to know what faith is. And faith is simply believing the word, trusting it, and acting upon it. There's nothing simpler than that. And notice it says, for he that cometh to God must believe. Believe that he is, that he exists, and that he exists in your life. If we have faith in Christ as Saviour, he exists in our life. He is the Saviour in our life. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We don't diligently seek Christ if we're looking into the word of God. We don't diligently seek Christ in a Hindu temple, for example. We wouldn't be rushing off to a to a Muslim mosque to seek Christ. Or we wouldn't be going into a heathen pub to seek Christ. We'd be seeking Christ in the house of the Lord. We'd be looking for his words in the house of God. And connected with that house, remember I mentioned before about flourishing if you're planted in the house, connected in the house of God, the words of God being preached and taught and given so that we can be nourished and grow up in him. Praise the Lord. And that's wonderful, because we must be people that diligently seek the Lord, and we do it through his word. Praise the Lord. We do it through his word. If you have a look, we'll finish on verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. So that shows us that he's not basing, Noah is not basing his faith or his actions on things that he's seen or seeing. He's being warned of God, so the word of God has come to Noah. Moved with fear. That's with the fear of the Lord, not with the fear of evil. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. People, we have to see that Noah built the ark when the rains weren't pouring down. He hadn't seen the flood. He hadn't seen the 40 days of rain or the fountains of the deep being opened. They hadn't been seen. They'd never been seen, fountains of the deep being opened or 40 days of rain. But he was warned of God. You know, lots of deliverance in our life is through heeding the warning of God. We see that even in the life of Christ. If you read at the beginning of the book of Matthew, you'll see that there were warnings in a dream. People listened to those. So God wants us to take his word and act upon that. Not act on sight. We saw the nobleman didn't act on sight. He acted on the word of Christ. He believed the word. We see the same with Noah. So we're starting to understand what faith is. Faith is integrally attached to the word of God coming into the heart and believing that word as a foundation for our actions. Praise the Lord. Just like Noah, and we could go and we'll look at others later in this sermon series, but we see Noah was an example, and it's written here as an example for us to take. Now, let me encourage you to read right through Hebrews chapter 11. Have a look at the faith examples that are given in there and just think to yourself, did these people act by sight or did they act by a word they got from the Lord? And you'll see in all the cases, they acted by a word they got from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your revelation in our life, for revealing to us the way that we should go by your Spirit. We know that you are leading us. You're leading us into good things, into good ways. Lord, I pray that all of us here would be people of faith. We would take your word, believe it, and that your manifestation of yourself to us in our lives would be on the basis of us believing and acting on your word. Thank you for that, Lord. Bless everyone here, Lord. Abundant blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We wait on you. Glorify you. Thank you. The Lord says, I hold forth my word of truth. And that word of truth is a light that shines in the darkness. It is held forth.
To hear and to obey are the two things that God wants us to do.
Thank you, Father, and praise you. Thank you that you move in our lives, you work in our lives. Praise you for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a finishing chorus, and I'll ask Matthew to come and lead us through that. Thank you, Matthew.
Seeing Jesus is alive.